Thank you for listening to a recorded worship service of Gaiman Mennonite Church.
Our church is located just outside Adamstown, Pennsylvania.
We hope this service points you to Jesus, and we invite you to come worship the Lord with us.
Gaiman Mennonite Church.
Enjoy the service.
Good morning and welcome to our service. I invite you to turn in the Mennonite hymnal to number 310. 310. I would ask you to stand, please.
One of the themes today that Travis will be speaking on is love. And that made me think of the verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, that says, "Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away." And that last verse kind of really strikes me, where the whole love never fails thing. No matter what else, we can always love one another. Will the ushers please come forward? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this day and for everything you've given to us, God. And I pray that we will just love one another, God, that we will just show your love and the gifts that you've given us to others, God, that we can be a life for you, God, and that we will remember to always love, no matter what happens, no matter what people do to us, that we can just remember to treat them with love and respect. I pray you a blessed offering in the hands that gave it. In your name, amen.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm actually going to have something for the kids, if you guys want to come up a while. Good morning. I'm going to open this again. So, I got a couple questions for you guys, and then we're going to do a little experiment. So, we're talking about love today. Have any of you guys ever been in love? You know, when, how many of you guys are in first grade? Second grade? Fourth grade? I remember specifically those 3 years there was a girl I liked. I liked the same girl all those 3 years, the same girl. How do you know what love is? Anybody? What about, are there things that your parents do to show that they love each other? Yeah. Okay. They kiss each other. Anything else? You know what? I try to remember to put the toilet seat down for Carolyn. One time, this was when we were first married, one time I forgot to, and she almost sat down in the toilet. Anybody else have anything that your parents do? Yeah. Okay. What about, so we're talking about God's love. That's a little bit different than our love for each other. Does anybody know how we love God? Or do you have any ideas? I'm sure they're not wrong. Anybody? In the Bible it says that people will know if we follow Jesus by the way we love each other and how we show love to each other. So I'm going to do a little experiment to show you a little example of love. I'll take maybe 3 volunteers. How about Ashlyn, let me think, Mark, and Emma, can you help? All right. Let's see. Emma, we'll use you last. Ashlyn, and Mark, here, Emma, you hang on to this. Oops, I forgot one thing. Maybe you've seen this before, but this is pretty cool. You guys can come over here. You can each have 2 of them. This is milk, and they have food coloring, and I'm going to show it to you up on the screen here so you guys can see what happens. Then you guys can each put a couple drops in, not too many. Can you get for the food coloring? Can you open them? Go ahead, put a couple drops in. Just pop it off. There you go. So this is going to show when we, like let's say this would be the world, and this is love. It's just kind of sitting there not really doing anything. If you guys are done, go ahead. Ashlyn and Mark, you guys want to go sit back down? And Emma is going to show you what happens when we take God's love and put it into use. That's probably about all it's going to do. There you go. See how it spreads out and flows? So that's what happens when we show our love, that the love that God gives us, when we show that love to each other, it's just going to spread out through everything and continue to grow. Thank you, guys. You guys may go sit back down. You may go back to your parents, I mean. You'll find out later. So maybe that wasn't as cool as I thought it would be. Does anybody remember 2 weeks ago, Phil told us that there's two things that sometimes we need. Sometimes we need this and sometimes we need this. Does anybody remember what those two things were? Yeah. And the other one was a pat on the back. So for me, this message today feels a little bit like a kick in the pants. Phil also challenged us with to seek God's feedback and then what? Do something about it. So I'm going to challenge you guys today. We're going to look at the scripture today, and we're going to see that God commands us to love one another. And I'm going to challenge you today to do something about it. As we're going to find out, like Chad says, faith requires action. Chad Hollinger says this. Love also requires action from us. You've probably heard people say already that we're supposed to love everybody, but that doesn't mean we have to like everybody, which I would probably tend to agree with that. But if we're really honest with ourselves, this love that God commands us to show to each other, to actually try to live that out, because it requires action, to live that out is really challenging to do for people we don't really like. It's easy to say that we love everybody, but when we actually have to act that out and do it, do something for those that we don't really like, that takes it to a whole nother level. It's extremely challenging to show love to those that we don't really like. So we'll get into the text here. It's first from 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 11. Starts out, here we go. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Now the message that we heard from the beginning, this would be, so I think we were always told we should love one another, but when Jesus came on the scene, he said, a new commandment I give you, love one another. This was a different perspective of love that Jesus was showing, and that he's showing to us on how we should love. John 13:35 says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Not that everyone will know that you are my disciples if you, by the work that you do, or by the money that you give, the amount of money you give, or by the mission trips that we go on, or the sermons we preach. It's not about what we're doing for God, but what we're doing for each other that shows that we are Jesus' disciples, that we are his followers. And here in verse 11, John says that we should love one another. But Jesus himself said in the book of John 13:34, that we must love one another. And we will look at what this love means a little more in depth in a little bit. So let's continue on, verse 12. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? because his own actions were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life. So I believe if we were able to talk to Cain, he'd probably convince a lot of us that Abel was the problem here. That Cain was in the right and Abel was in the wrong. You see this a lot. These guys are brothers, so he'd have all the dirt on Abel to throw out there and convince us that Abel's not this righteous guy that we think he is. But Cain believes that if Abel was not in the picture, that he would be, that his, it talks about in Genesis 4 about that Abel, they both gave offerings and Cain's was not looked on with favor from God. I believe that Cain half-heartedly gave his offering out of obligation, while Abel had faith and love for God and gave from the firstborn of his flocks, gave to God his offering. And Cain believes if Abel was out of the picture, God would be pleased and be happy with the offering that he gave. But really, it has nothing to do with Abel. It's all about Cain's heart and his motivation. Instead of examining his heart and working on his relationship with God, because we see that there was a relationship there because God counseled Cain. He warned him that sin is crouching at the door, and he needs to be careful of that. But Cain still just became obsessed with getting rid of Abel. And John tells us that anyone who hates a fellow Christian is in danger of the flames of hell. This is why it's crucial for us to learn to love one another the way that Jesus taught us and the way that God commands us to. Continuing on in verse 16. This is how we know that what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, than that he lay down his life for his friends. We are to love sacrificially in this way, but not by sacrificing our lives, by giving up our very life, but by sacrificing our time, our resources, our money, our abilities, and our actions. This is how we love sacrificially. If we look at the story of the rich young man from Matthew 19, this guy came to Jesus and he says, basically says, what good do I need to do? And some people will look at this story differently. I look at it as this, some people will look at it as this man's coming, you know, I really want to have eternal life and have this relationship with Jesus. So what do I need to do? I look at it as more as this guy's kind of cocky and he's coming and he wants everybody to, he thinks he's got it all down and he's coming to Jesus. You know, what do I need to do? And he thinks Jesus is going to say, you know, you're doing everything you need to do, and he can go away knowing that everybody around here saw how good he is. So he comes to Jesus and he says, what good do I need to do? Jesus lists 5 of the 10 commandments, along with loving your neighbor as yourself. Does anybody know what these 5 all have one thing in common? Does anybody know what that is? Do not murder, do not steal, do not commit adultery, do not covet, and honor your father and mother. Why those five, and why leave out the other five? These five all deal with relating to someone else. They're all relational. Murdering someone, that's obviously, you know, going to be done to someone else. Committing adultery, stealing, coveting, and honoring your father and mother. And then he throws in there to love your neighbor as yourself. And this guy, he's confident. He says, I'm doing all these things. Then Jesus hits him where it hurts and says, go sell all you have and give to the poor. And I would imagine at this point, this rich young man is like, whoa, 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 hold on. I love the poor, but I don't like them. So why would I do that? He was loving with words and not with actions. And it says he walked away sad, and I believe this is because Jesus opened his eyes to the fact that he really wasn't loving his neighbor as himself. John, 1 John 3:17 said, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? This is how we love like Jesus loved. And 1 John 3:18, let us love not with words, but with tongue and with actions. Love requires action. Continue in verse 23. And this is his command, to believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey this commandment live in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 tells us that we were given the Holy Spirit as a deposit of our heavenly inheritance. But not everyone has the Spirit of God. Some people will claim to and preach Jesus or God, but not preach true Scripture. And chapter 4 starts out by discerning that and warning us to not believe everything we hear. I read on the internet that Abraham Lincoln was quoted as saying, not everything you read on the internet is true. Then we get into, in verse 7, we get in back into the love conversation again. And in these next 14 verses, love is mentioned 27 times. That's almost two times per verse. And in the first six verses, love is mentioned 13 times. That's over two times per verse. So as you can see, love is very important. But this isn't just any kind of love. This isn't love like, I love ice cream, or I love the Eagles, or, you know, I love winter or summer. The Greek word used here for love is agape, which is a sacrificial love. Wednesday a week ago, I took Carolyn along with another couple, because I didn't want to do this on my own, so I invited some friends of ours to go along, but we went to New York City. It was my Christmas gift to Carolyn. It's something she always wanted to go to Rockefeller Center and see the Christmas tree. So that was my Christmas gift to her this year. We drove over to Hamilton Station, which is on the east side of Trenton, New Jersey, got on the train there, took the train right up into New York City, got off the train, and Carolyn had read some tips on going to New York City, and the two that scared me the most was, one was to not look like a tourist, and the other one was to not look scared. So when we got into New York City and got off the train, I didn't want to get off the train and be like, okay, reading signs, trying to figure out where to go. So we basically just followed the flow of people until it started dispersing a little bit. And then we tried to figure out where we were. And it was like we had tourists stamped on our forehead, because immediately people were asking us, you know, like, you want to take this bus tour, or trying to give us things. And as the day went along, I think we started to fit in a little better, because by the end of the day, they weren't asking us as much. And also we stopped being polite and saying, no, no, thank you. It was just like, no. And don't even look at them and just keep walking. Then at the end of the day, as we tried to get back on the train to go home, that was kind of stressful. Because you go back down, at Trenton or Hamilton Station was nice. There's one train going this way. You get on it. That one takes you to New York. Coming home, you better make sure you get on the right train if you want to get back home. You go down in, you got subways, you have the Long Island train, and you have the New Jersey Transit, and you want to make sure you get on the right train system as well. And we were pretty confident we were on the right train, but I wasn't 100% sure until we heard over the intercom, next stop, Hamilton Station. Then I breathed a sigh of relief and was even more at peace once we were in our car and driving home. This was my act of sacrificial love to Carolyn. It honestly felt like I was laying my life down on the line for her. I thought it was something that was on her bucket list, and I thought a bucket list is when you do something, you check it off, and you've done it. Now, by the end of the day, they were talking about next time when we do this, or we should make this an annual thing. Someone told me that I should have purposely got on the wrong train, so that was terrible, and she never wanted to do this again. But this is not what sacrificial love is. It's easy to sacrificially love someone when we know or can maybe possibly expect to get things in return. Romans 5:8 says, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us while we were still enemies of God, while we didn't have any power to do anything for him, he laid down his life for us. That's what sacrificial love is. Giving our time, our money, our resources to those who are in need without expecting anything in return, or to those who maybe have no means of giving us anything in return. So let's read here chapter 4, verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Everyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given of us his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world, we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. the one who fears is not made perfect in love. So we are able to love because God first loved us. God is love. He showed us how to love. He set an example for us by sending Jesus to die on the cross for us. This love brings about peace. Some people will use love as a means to leverage what they want and get what they want. This is not true love. Hollywood has a version of love, and this love is way out in left field. That's a whole nother subject. But this love is freeing. It brings about a peace and a calm and a freeing. If it produces anything other than that, it is not love. And if we say we love our brother and sister in Christ, but we do not act it out, we do not sacrifice our time, our money, our resources, we're only kidding ourselves. Verse 19, we love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has... Let me start over. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. And I left this here just to pique your curiosity. This is another example of love. So as I spray this out, this just continues to grow and spread. This is how God's love works. If this love was in us, and we pour it out, God's love is just going to continue to grow and spread, much like this. This, I thought, had more in than that. But if you try to take that and put it back in the can, it's not going to fit back in. The same way it is with God's love. As we pour out God's love, it's just going to continue to grow and spread to those around us. God showed us his love. God is love. He showed us his love. His love requires action. He commands us to love one another. And this is how everyone will know that we are his followers, if we love one another. So if you take anything with you today, remember that love requires action. Thank you.
Would you turn, please, in the Mennonite hymnal to number 386. 386.
This is our opportunity for sharing prayer requests or praises.
This is Lydia. This Sunday is our first Sunday. We have quizzing. It's at Petra, and quizzing starts at 6:30. But they do also have a worship time that'll start around 6:15. Also, I have a schedule in the back, so if you want to look for a time where it's at a church that's a little bit closer, I have all our teams highlighted. Also, I have a sign-up sheet in the back if you want to sign up to cook a meal for us. We practice every Sunday evening before quizzing, and I need to feed the quizzers. So if you guys want to sign up and help out with that, that would be amazing.
This is Carolyn, and just as a reminder of God's love to us, I am just reminded that tomorrow we will celebrate Leah's 5 years of transplant. And I just am reminded again of how you as a church congregation have stood by us as we walk this journey with her. And I am glad we are on this side of it, and I'm excited about celebrating with her tomorrow.
This is Loretta Gockley, and yesterday marked the one-year anniversary of Jaden Peltz's accident, and while he is doing remarkable, they are asking that we continue to pray for his short-term memory and that he still struggles with that, and that that he'll have complete healing.
You said Jaden, correct?
Yes, this is Lucy. An update on my mom. She is in the acute rehab now at Ephrata Hospital. And thank you for your prayers. She, of course, still is in quite a bit of pain, especially with therapy. And she did not have therapy yesterday, so she will be getting her full session of therapy today. She said it might not be a good day for visitors, especially a lot of them anyway. So, but keep her in her prayers as she continues to recover.
This is Randy. Tuesday, I go in to see the lung doctor. They think the last time I was in was sarcoidosis, which is an infection on the lung. Right now I can only use 75% of my lungs, so I'm hoping there is something to take care of it. So just remember me Tuesday as we see what there is to do.
This is Tony. My nephew come home this week from the burn center at Logan. And also we have a sign-up sheet back here in the back of the church here for the sweetheart meal. Everybody's welcome, 15 and up, single, anybody.
I want to second, what Carolyn said. That was one thing that attracted me to this church, other than the fact of, you know, a pretty young lady, was the, we're talking about loving one another, the sense of this church sort of felt like a family in the way that everyone cared for and loved each other, and that was one thing that really attracted me to this church. So, thank you guys.
So now that you said that, I do have a couple things that we could do to help others in among us. If anyone has any strong leads on a good car for the Fishers, they were in an accident several weeks ago and will be in need of a good used car. And secondly, and I didn't even discuss this with Steve yet, but look for a love gift offering to happen in the next few weeks for Mary Gaiman. At her stage of life, and I don't know, I'm not living on Social Security, but it does not make it very far, and it's come to my attention that she has had to make some choices to really maybe watch her finances, and I think that we as a church maybe could help to alleviate that need in her life. She's served us as in the mission field for a long time, and that would be one way we could honor her service. Thank you.
All right, would you guys stand for prayer? Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for your love for us, and that you showed your love to us by sending Jesus to die on the cross for our sins and setting an example for us. And God, we just lift up these many prayer requests that were mentioned this morning and those that weren't mentioned as well. We just pray for your intervention in them, whether it be wisdom or healing or helping us to sacrificially give and to praising you for answering prayers as well. Help us just to continue to be diligent in bringing these requests to you, regardless of whether we see results or if we feel like we see results or not. We know that you're there working in some way. God, thank you for your love again. Help us to love one another as you have loved us. Amen. Go in peace.